Blog Talk Radio. evening, everybody. Welcome to the Glass House.
Yeah. Good evening.
I'm your host, Simi Braxton, with the illustrious Lady T. We want to thank you for joining us tonight to participate in some heartfelt dialogue with some open conversation. That's the place we want to have for you to sit back and relax and just join in for some of that stimulating conversation that penetrates the thoughts and leaves us all mentally and spiritually and emotionally satisfied. Isn't that right, Lady T?
Most definitely and absolutely. We'd like to take the time to thank the J. King Network, Lynn Tolliver, for giving us the opportunity to have a platform that will allow us to share with you our personalities, our thoughts, and our everyday issues. Our desire here is to create a place that will inspire greatness within you where calmness is present, not being judgmental, leaving here energized with the greater confidence where we can all feel better about ourselves because the connection we made here at the Glass House. Now, here's my co-host and I, the suave, Simi Braxton.
Wow. Okay. I'm suave now, huh?
Suave. I put the Rico in front of it because you are not a Mexican.
Right.
You're a suave and debonair.
yes. Okay. I'm what you call seasoned. That's what I am. I'm seasoned. It took a minute for me to be seasoned. It took time for me to become seasoned.
Well, everything takes time. Everything takes time.
Now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It takes time. But you know what? We're not going to waste any time jumping right into what we've been talking about these past few weeks. And we thank you all once again for your support. We've been talking about the love languages. You know, we've been talking about that nonverbal communication between lovers, friends and associates. I mean, you know, it's the same thing. We talked about a few weeks ago, we talked about the five love languages, how to express love to each other. What do you complain about the most? You have to ask yourself, what do I want also out of this relationship? I'm learning, can agree with me, I'm learning so much about me and what I don't know. I'm learning so much about my significant other. I'm learning so much about, you know, how I myself can improve myself. And as I mentioned, I posted this on Facebook. In our culture, women have been taught that being assertive and going after what they want is generally a good thing. You know, we as men, we want women that go for it. We want women that strive. But the question is it a good thing when it comes to your own love life? Now, you know, men, we do, as you agree, we appreciate the intelligent and successful woman. We like a strong woman, you know. But we don't typically like and we don't feel appreciative about being managed in our relationships. Now, Lady T, you are one of those women, I feel, that you're striving for the things you're in a place where you have a lot of drive and there's some things that you're trying to accomplish in your life at this moment. These are some things that you really desire. Okay, do you block yourself off? Do you prevent men from coming into your life at this point in your life? Is this a no dating zone for you right now at this particular time in your life? Are you there? T?
I believe that at this point in time in my life that I remain open. I remain, present. I remain definitely in prayer so that I bring forth the type of people in my life that are going to help me evolve and help me grow. So I'm not unapproachable. I'm not like shut down. I believe that I am, in a space where, yes, I definitely am concentrating on my career and wanting that. But, if the right person comes along and I know that with the will of God and me staying in prayer and me meditating and doing the things that I need to do to make myself a success, that it will come up. It will come afloat.
Let me ask you something, Lady T. Okay, you say that you're unapproachable, right?
So no, I'm
sorry. You're approachable,
right.
But you're not unapproachable. But you're not at this time looking for someone in your life. Is that correct?
Well, I'm not, actively seeking. You know how women get online and, there was a point where I tried online dating. And then there was a point where, you go out to certain places to meet guys. Like you go out and you work out, or you might walk your dog in a certain area, or you might, go to certain movies, or you might go and sign up for, Match.com that has a high percentage of people getting together. So I'm not out there actively seeking. I'm actively waiting on a higher power to send me what I need to conk me on my head to say, here I am. So maybe I'm living in a fantasy world, but it's the world I'm living in right at this point in time in my life.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you something from my past experiences,
mm-hmm.
especially when it comes to women. And I'm going to have to leave Ms. Gina out of the equation. I'm gonna do something a little different, and I'm going to go back to when I was out there, actively looking for a female or something that I thought that would be something I would want to be with for, a significant amount of time. I was totally turned off when it came to certain types of women that, I love the power. I love the ability to strive and accomplish things in their life. I really, really love that, it wasn't something that I was so much impressed about, but it was an expectation of mine because of what I grew up seeing in my life. And the biggest turnoff for me was when they couldn't take that hat off from being a boss at work, and then when they come home, they want to be a boss at home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
And a lot of times, the way women communicate the things that they desire,
mm-hmm.
it's not a request, but it's a demand. Now, we have a caller on, 757. You didn't press the one. I'm just looking at you. Okay. I'm just looking. I thought you pressed the one.
Well,
now,
can I say for self, just for self, it's everybody doesn't get that for me. I know how to cut that line off. Like if I have a professional hat on, that's my professional time. But if I have somebody and I have a boo and I'm all snuggled up, like not everybody gets to see that. Only that person gets to see that. Like that's not privileged for, everybody. So it's a time and a place for things, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, but that's true. But a lot of people just really, they really don't know how to take that hat off. They really don't know how to take that hat off. Now, I can say this. Some guys
mm-hmm.
can be totally insecure. We have a caller. Let me see what this person, 261-509. State your name and where you're from. We're glad to have you with us on the Glass House.
Simi, Lady T, what's going on? What's going on, Simi and Lady T? How y'all doing? This is Mr. DLW.
Hey, we're blessed.
Godwin. Good to see you, man.
Godwin, what's up? up. We're in the evening hours.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. You know what, Timmy?
I
want
to come
in on
good to say.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead, bro.
Man, we just finished up talking about true love and love and happiness. So I'm still in that mode. And when you're talking mm-hmm. about that mode of being in that boss mode, I had that same problem too, Timmy. And you know, my ride home was my transformation. When you leave work and you get in your car and you listen to your music, whatever it may be, you know, that's that opportunity for you to transition into that, you know, that mode of you going home to see your baby, you going home to see your boo. You know, when you do that, by the time you hit that door, you know, it's all about service. It's all about, you know, when you talk about those, the five languages of love, it's all about that act of service, that, baby, what can I do for you? Can I fix your dinner? Can I run your bath water? Sit on down on the couch.
Right.
Let me rub your feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to watch on TV? You know,
right.
Don't worry about the game being on. I'll catch that later. I'll DVR it. What do you want to watch? You know what I'm saying? So
right.
That's how you transition, or that's at least that's how I transition from.
Mm-hmm.
Going from that boss mode or that work mode into the home mode. And you were saying some ladies have that problem where they don't do that. And,
yeah, they can't let go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And
well, sometimes
I think the quickest way to transform into that is get your mind right. You know, when you leave work, you got to leave work at work. I mean, how many times have you heard people come home and the first thing they do, they talking about work, 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 work? I mean, you don't really want to bring that up unless your spouse say, you know, baby, how was your day? You know, so
right,
you know,
I think that's
a perfect opportunity. That ride home, that 15, 20-minute ride home, however long it takes for you to transition into that mode of being a companion. As opposed to being a boss.
Mm-hmm. Like a segue,
right.
Kind of a segue into another, it's like into another world or another, you know, like you said, a transformation. It's got to be somewhere, but there's got to be somewhere that you have to take that off and become that softer person that the whole world doesn't get to see, just the privacy.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of times what happens is, It has a lot to do with, you know, my thing has always been this, especially with most of the women that I've dated. It has to be, you know, I look at how they were raised and who was there teaching them their love language. Because their love language is different from my love language, simply because of the fact that there were different people that raised her. And one of the most difficult things to be able to do is to learn how to understand how that person can receive love, because sometimes the way you translate love is not necessarily the way that the other individual can receive love. They don't understand love the way you give it. And I look at the relationship of the female and her father, if she had a father, or some male figure, or someone that was there. From my past, I just have to say that it does make a difference. It makes a difference, you know. There's a lot of hurt and pain that takes place in people's lives, both men and women, male and female. I've been hurt. You've been hurt. All have experienced some type of hurt, some type of pain, some type of deceit that was aimed at us in our lives, or sometimes it wasn't aimed at us in our lives. But, you know, we have a tendency, we can carry these things over into the next relationship that we come in. And what I had to learn to do personally is with my own life is not carry my pain, my hurts into the next relationship. Because it can be very, very damaging and very, very hard for you to get through. Go ahead, Darkwing.
You know, Sammy, I just wanted to comment on that one thought, man. I'm going to share a personal experience with you. I was married for over 20 years with this woman for 24 years before we got a divorce. And the one thing that I had to learn before I was able to move on and be in the relationship that I'm in now and thrive in that, I had to first look at myself and, you know, take the blame or step up to the plate and take the blame of my part, the demise of that relationship. And I also had to forgive her for her part. And until you're able to do that, until you're able to effectively do that, you won't be able to go into that next relationship and have that type of love for that person that you both deserve. So when moving forward, that has to be something that's taken care of. You have to forgive yourself, mm-hmm. and you have to forgive them, and that will allow you, once that healing process starts, then you're able to move on to another relationship.
I'll tell you. Yeah, you know, and that's true. It's true. You have to, and I like to use the word responsibility instead of blame, because to me, when it comes to the word blame, and I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean, and everybody, a lot of people. But it's just taking responsibility because for your own actions, for your own life, and for the things that you know that you need to improve on in your own life. And then when you're able to do that, because it's ugly. It really is an ugly thing to look at ourselves. When we really look at ourselves and see who we really are, and we can't lie to ourselves, and let's just face it, we all have our shortcomings. We all have character defaults. But how is it, what do I need to do to be able to, there's a guy, they say the five levels of intimacy, and they talk about these different levels of intimacy, one starting at being per se, the one where, you know, you see someone in the street, hey, how's it going? Oh, good. Ah, nice weather. Yeah, great weather. How about those Chargers? I can't stand the Chargers. You know what I mean? Where it's nothing to lose, no risk at all. And then all the way down, then you got the second one where, you know, you begin to share certain things about maybe not what you personally believe in, but maybe something that, you know, my grandmother used to always say, blah, 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 blah. Or, it's always someone else's opinions because it's safe and you don't have to make a commitment. Then when you get down to the fourth and the fifth level of intimacy, then, you know, you start sharing more about things that you really believe in, your desires, your hurts. You know, the things that you don't really share with other people. Now, you know, but they say now most of the time we have sex before we get to that fifth level. Or maybe somebody might be at number two and the other one's already at number five. And then we have sex to feel closer again. Because, see, the sex, it's designed to make you feel close. But, you know, after that wears off, the level of communication, that intimacy, the real true intimacy, which comes from being able to talk to another individual and to go to that soul level, because that's where the intimacy really takes place. You see, the intimacy takes place when you communicate with an individual and you are allowed to share your most deepest, darkest, or your most deepest, you know, enlightening secrets, personal things, that safe place where you're vulnerable, you see? And through communication, that's where the intimacy really takes place. The sex is just a par for the course, but we anesthetize it. It's like putting a Band-Aid over a gunshot wound when you haven't been able to communicate with that person, haven't been able to talk to that person. Talking and exchanging words and exchanging, you know, sharing with one another, that's where intimacy is created, right at that point. And I can say this, before me and my significant other, Gina, got together, we talked for at least 4 months. We talked over the phone, through the computer. We talked a lot on the phone because you got to talk, man. You have to talk. And you have to know as you grow in maturity, and that doesn't mean at 30 you're not as mature as a man that's 50. It's just, as you know, whenever you get to the point when you're able to understand the importance of being able to communicate and finding a way, because, you know, how, you know, you want to get to know someone if you love them or if you're interested in them. And then you have to understand, you know, where everybody is, because most people don't want to share as much as the other person because of fear or, you know, of being judged. You know, there are a lot of people that refuse to, you know, open up. What does it take, Lady T, I'm asking you, what does it take for you to open up to a man? What does it take?
Well, you know, I'm firmly one that keeps constantly saying that, you know, time tells all. So it would have to be kind of like, you know, what you represent and Gina represents, where, you know, I would have that communication with that person and that I would connect with them on other levels besides just the sexual level. I would not, that's not my first, you know, that's not my end-all be-all, because that's going to happen, you know, sooner or later. So I'm into communication and I'm into connection on different type of levels and on different type of, you know, on different type of ways that, you know, are unusual for, you know, the norm, just something different, but definitely on a communication level like you guys did, because that's the perfect way.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna tell you now. It has been, and it still is, a journey.
Right.
Because,
well, anything worth having is a journey.
And she, you know, when she was in that, she worked in corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she was surrounded by corporate America. Okay, and she was mostly the only one of us that would be around there. But she really did, and I have to tell her this, she knew how to switch lanes.
Yeah, she knew how to switch gears, right.
You know, and it's not hard, but it's not easy for everyone, especially
right.
When you've been doing it on your own, you know, because, you know, you hear that, I don't need nobody to do nothing for me, because
right.
I can do it for myself. And if I need to do bad, I can do bad all
bad
by
all
myself.
By myself. That's true. I believe
okay.
that.
So, and then sometimes they leave that, you know, it stays there when you go home.
Right.
When you go out, sometimes, you know. Let us pick the place to take you to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's okay to allow us to, you know, have that opportunity to, you know, take you to dinner. You know
right.
what I mean? Just to pick the place. You know?
Right. Just let,
you
know, let
like
loose
play,
a little. Yeah, let
well,
loose, let a little
a
control.
Way that you can say, there's always a way that you can say things to us as men.
Right.
And and still get the same response without knocking us down and tearing us down and making us feel like we took you to a place that was a bunch of crap. In other words, what I'm saying is, you know, we're still talking about love language because it's communication. You know, it's all about how your delivery is and allowing what you want to be understood to become a request instead of a demand.
Right. And when is it a good time to be assertive about it? When is a good time to take off your assertive hat and be your relaxed,
right,
comfy, cozy, I'm in the glass house, let me take off my shoes, get a glass of wine, you know, just sit back and chill type of thing. So,
Ladies, see, we got a caller on 507-508. What's your name? State your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Simi. This
you
is Carrie.
Hey.
Hello. Hey. This is Carrie.
Okay.
How you doing?
Hey, you know what? You got that professional voice on. Okay. Hey. How you doing?
Hi, Terry.
Hey, T. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Yes, you are.
So I'm listening.
I'm glad to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you know, you are a single woman
in
corporate
I am.
America.
Well, okay,
and, you are a beautiful woman. That's
you just
in corporate
saying
America.
That because we related. That's all. You just saying it because we related. But go ahead.
Well, I think you're beautiful. I think that you have all the qualities that are necessary for a man. You know, to want or to desire.
Okay.
Oh, amen.
What
well,
is
thank
it
you.
That you think that? Do you think men are intimidated by your position and your ability because you're also I don't know what a preacher. I mean, you know, you're an evangelist. You're a preacher. You proclaim the gospel. And also you have a good job. You got your own stuff. You know, you don't need no man to help you out with none of that. All your kids are grown.
I don't know.
The table is set and the meal is prepared.
Well.
What do you think? What is it, Carrie?
Well, you know, I've had men tell me that I'm intimidating. And I think that's because they probably see me when I'm doing my church work. You know, if people take time to know me, and I try to give people ample time to know me because I don't have two personalities. Mm-hmm. I don't have a corporate Carrie and a regular Carrie. I'm the same all the time. But if they take time to know me, they'll find out that I'm probably not as strong as and as intimidating as they think I am. But I don't know. I think, and I don't know why men would be intimidated by me. I don't understand it. And I've had people, I have a couple of friends now who are not intimidated, and that is very refreshing. They will go head to head with me on the issue. But some men seem to want me to cower down, and I'm not going to do that.
Well, what do you mean? But what is power down? I need
mm-hmm.
I need something. I don't know what that means.
I think that I've had some men who don't like me to question things.
Mm-hmm. They like you to dumb yourself down, kind of.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And don't like you to challenge a thought or an idea.
Okay.
And to me, that's communication, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ability to exchange ideas and challenge thoughts and ideas. And but I've had people who didn't want me to do that.
So what you're saying is sometimes, I mean, because I talk to you all the time. You're extremely intelligent. You're versatile. Do you think that it's sometimes that men feel like they, you know, want to be the smartest, and, you know, when you don't do that, because there are some men, you know, that want to have all the answers and they want to know, you know, and some women play to that. I've never wanted anybody to play that, you know. If you're smart, be smart. If you're smarter than me in something, be smarter than me in something. Because what? Iron sharpens iron. So do you think that some women purposely dummy down because of a male ego?
I do, and I think it's part of that game that I also don't like, because I think people ought to come straight. You know, a friend of mine said that when you start dating somebody, don't rush into anything because you need to wait until their ambassador leaves.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Because the person who you see the first few times may not be the real person. That's just their representative.
Hold that thought. We got another caller on 619-723. State your name and where you're calling from. I'm leaving everybody's mic open too. So, Darkwing, you're still open. If you want to, you know, interject, man, you're there.
Okay, I appreciate
it. Okay, who's 619-723? State your name and where you're calling from.
That's me. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Who are
okay.
You?
This is Will Brown. I'm from San Diego.
Hi, Will.
Hey.
Thanks for calling.
Hi, Will. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Will.
We're blessed. Thank you.
Yeah, this is a great topic. I'm pretty good, sir. This is a great topic, and I was listening to it and hearing how guys were intimidated and things, and I've never been intimidated by a woman. If she's smarter than you, then you'd celebrate that, because if she's your partner, she's going to make you stronger. She'll make you stronger.
Right.
And then I just heard the young lady say that some guys, you know, they want you to cower down and all. I mean, that I love a strong woman. A strong woman makes you stronger. You know, there's no doubt about that.
How old are you, Will, and are you single?
I just got in a new relationship, so I take my time getting in a relationship. And just like you said, that the ambassador, you want the ambassador to leave? Well, I always tell when I meet a woman, I said, just be yourself, because it's going to come out anyway.
That's
right.
You're
right.
You know,
it all comes out in the wash.
I'm 53 years old, so I've been around the block a few times.
Yeah.
And I date very sparingly because I'm waiting on somebody very special, you know. And I lend myself to somebody who I truly believe, because I believe everybody knows, you know, within the first few dates whether you're going to, you know, go further or not. But some people, they just ignore that because they still have that ambassador going, and they go ahead and go further. And then, boom, next thing you know, it doesn't work out. At 53 years old, I don't want to waste a day. I don't want to waste a moment.
Let me ask you a question, Will.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Let me ask you a question. How long does it take for you to communicate verbally for you feel that it's time to seal the deal?
Well, here, let me just put
you know,
way.
To seal the deal is that, you know,
let me put it to have sex. It depends on the personality of the female. It depends on the flow of your relationship. But, you know, what I understand is at my age, at 53 years old, I don't date young. You know, to me, young is 50.
Right.
And I've never gone
me
younger
too.
Than that.
Me too,
but
that's right.
I never played around with these little girl tours, and that ain't my style. I got daughters that's 30, so, I don't go down that road. I keep around 50 and up. But anyway, I whenever I meet a woman, I understand that we've both been hurt. You know, if they're single and you're single right now, and our kids are grown and and we've been dating, you've been hurt and I've been hurt. So, you know, for me, the first thing I do is I want to make sure she understands that, first of all, I date one person at a time. You know, this ain't, I'm not 20 years old or 20, not 30. You know, I date one person at a time, so I want to know. That's the first thing I find out. Are you on that page? If you're not, and you know, I don't want to, you know, waste any of her time. You know, your time alone. Then after that, if she says that she's cool with that, then I find out, you know, I understand we've both been hurt. You know, you kind of find a little bit about the history of that. And when you find that out, then I go to reassure her, you know, to let her know off top. You know, like, you know, I have a friend, you know, she called me, you know, if I'm with her, I have, girlfriends that are platonic friends. And if she sees something or hears something, you know, that I'm here or there, she can call me, and I take her call no matter what. I take her call. And I tell her, too. I said, look, you know, there's going to be a time where you're not going to have to call me. You know, you're gonna trust me. But you've been hurt, and I understand that. I've been hurt. I have insecurities. You do, too. But we can make them go away. You know, that's my philosophy. And that's off top.
Okay.
I've gotten a couple of those calls already. You know, I mean, I've gotten a couple of those calls and reassure and just.
Go ahead. At the same time, Will, you are a rare individual because of the fact that, you know, of the way you think. But there are a lot of men out there that, you know, they get all they can and can all they get.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I can't worry about that, Simi.
I want to comment on that a little bit. You know,
go ahead.
You're absolutely right. Some men are in that mode of you know, conquering all that they can. But
and so are some women,
that,
you guys.
Yes,
women
absolutely.
I agree. But the thing is, usually that happens in your early age. But as you mature and you realize that having those multiple relationships can be damaging, costly, and flat out dangerous in some cases, by the time you reach your 40s or even your late 30s, as you mature, you want to be settled down with that one person. And the thing that this gentleman mentioned a little while ago, as far as dating one particular person at a time, you have to become friends first. Before when you're dating, you're finding out where your compatibilities are. You're finding out, you know, the little things that you need to know. And the one thing I think young people, this is the difference between a mature relationship and that immature relationship. And when I say immature, I mean people that, you know, really don't understand how relationships work. I think the one thing that we have to really focus on is making sure that you ask the right questions. When you're dating, you know, it's pretty much like an interview on whether or not you want to go to the next date. You know, especially when you're talking about in the beginning. You know, you ask the questions. You let that person talk about their history. You let that person talk about their past relationships. I know some guys that really get uptight when their girls start talking about a woman that they're dating. They start talking about their past relationships. And I tell them, brother, you got to listen to her. Because if you listen, she's going to tell you everything that they did wrong. Yeah. And you got to make sure that you don't make that same mistake if that's who you want to be with. So when it comes to dating, when it comes to making sure that you have that one special person, listen to them. Listen to what they're telling you. And take that opportunity to ask the right questions.
But you know what? You guys are talking about that one special person. I think that people should be straight up and honest when they go into a relationship.
There you go.
Okay?
Yes.
If you don't want to, if you just dating to have a good time, be straight up with the woman and say, I'm just dating to have a good time. Because you'd be surprised if there are some women who are just dating to have a good time. Like right now, I'm not really looking for somebody who I want to marry right now, but I would like to have somebody to go out with.
There it is.
You know,
I still want to date that person single.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm honest about that with people.
Right.
You know, I'm honest about that.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that we as men, are we missing
you know, that good woman? Are we overlooking that good woman? Is it something that, you know, look, all of the elements that are there, or are we just downright spoiled and immature?
Well, Simi, I'm going to say this.
Women,
I think sometimes when it comes to a strong woman, people take that wrong. You know, I'm a strong woman, but I'm all about, if I'm in a relationship with a man, I'm all about him leading. Okay? Because I believe what the Bible
says.
You know, and I'm all about that, and I want him to lead. And I give him that right to lead.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But that doesn't mean that I can't take care of myself if I got to.
Right. Yeah. We have a caller coming up right now. I want to get this call, and I want to come back to you. I'm gonna leave all of your mics open. We got a caller from 702-353. State your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Teray, and I'm calling from Las Vegas. And what is the right question? And you know, how do you just trust somebody in that
the
right
last question?
Question
I asked was, you know, do you think men are overlooking good women? Or are we just...
It's not so much that they're overlooking. They don't give a shit.
Oh.
That's what it is. They want
they can get. And
they eat it, too.
Referring to all men.
And women, too. And women, too. Come on.
Yeah, they're women the same way. The women, too.
Well, women too, but women are more lenient, and men
No. There's some ruthless ones out there.
What you call them, Rufus?
Ruthless.
He's ruthless.
Ruthless.
Ruthless. I mean, look you in the eye and will lie and lie, and
that's
Well,
that's every day. That is every day.
Yeah, but I'm just saying a relationship. Yeah, I know, everyday life that happens, but I'm just saying a relationship.
You can go to a club and meet this man. He's like buying you all the drinks you want. That's just a hype. You know, been there, done that.
Okay, let me ask you this.
That's just to lure you in.
Hold up. We don't want to talk over each other. I want to ask you this question. Where do you meet someone? What's a good place to meet? We ask these questions, but what really is a good place to find that person that you know? Is it at church? Is it in the grocery store? Is it at the park?
Yes.
Can I answer
all of those places?
Can I jump on that?
You can't meet them in church because you're in church to listen to the word. So I don't want to listen to no brother with his drag at church, you know? That's unless he invites me back.
Well, you know, I fail to differ with that because I'm going to tell you something. I met a very wonderful woman that I ended up marrying.
Wow.
And we're still friends today. But she...
You're no longer married?
Excuse me?
You no longer married?
No, we're no longer married. But
what happened?
Well, I mean, you know,
what happened?
You met your soulmate. No.
I
went out there and I took for granted for what I had. And somebody's got something on in the background. Whatever it is, you got to put yourself on mute.
Somebody's in the bathroom.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like.
Okay, hold on. I'll get it right now. I have to put you on mute right quick. And I'll take you back off in a minute. But, you know, I mean, I made a mistake. I made a mistake, and I know I made the mistake. But you can meet these people. You can meet someone that you care about, you know, anywhere. You know, you just don't, it doesn't have to just be. You know, you don't have to be, you know, you can meet good people at church. Go ahead, D.O.W.
Cindy, I think there is no perfect place, I feel, just my opinion, I feel there's no perfect place to meet someone. I feel if you're going about your day doing your regular activities, they will find you. Because what they're going to do, what's going to attract them is the things that you're doing, you being yourself. You're doing, just going about your day and doing what it is that you normally do. And if you should happen to see someone that catches your eye or something about their demeanor that attracts you, then, of course, you will approach them. And usually during that first, and for women, a lot of women have told me this, women usually know within the first few minutes of you being in their presence on whether or not they want to deal with you. Because the first time you open your mouth, yo, baby, what's up? Okay, no, next, keep going. Excuse me, young lady, how you doing? I just want to... Sure, go ahead.
Can I say this? You guys are talking about meeting people. Now, I think it depends on what you want to meet. And I agree, you can meet people anywhere. I'm a good Christian woman. If you want to meet a good Christian woman, you need to come to my church because you're not going to meet me at the club.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it depends on what you want to meet. Now, granted, there's some skanks in the church. There's some thugs in the church, but you got a better chance of meeting a good Christian woman or a good Christian man in the church than you
is
do in a club.
Is that doing Bible study?
That's doing Bible study, worship service, choir rehearsal, whatever you do, whatever you're active in your church, whatever you do, you have a better chance of meeting a good Christian person inside church fellowship than you do
out in
the club.
Okay, but I just had a friend that came out, and this gentleman approached her, and he said, "You are the most beautiful woman I've ever seen." Granted, his wife just passed away, let's just say 8 months ago. And then he put in her hand some of his wife's jewelry and said, "I want you to have this." Well, come to find out it was gold, but it wasn't all real gold.
But
he
wanted
her
to
have
it. I can say,
hey, look.
And you're absolutely right. It's a thought. But why would you put your deceased wife's jewelry in some of the woman's hands? You know, I don't want that.
Dead.
I don't want that.
She did. She ain't coming
hold
back.
Hold on, Shemaine. I got a caller. I got a caller from 916-533. State your name and where you're calling from. We want to hear your thoughts.
What's going on, Sam? You know who it is.
You got to tell me because I don't have you logged in.
This is AD.
Girl.
AD.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey.
How you doing?
I just woke up.
How are you, man? How are you?
My brother.
Okay,
it's
man.
Good to hear you. You holding it down?
Yeah, I just popped in, and it's, you know, the question is, where not to look for one at? Exactly what they were saying, you know.
Where not to look for one.
Yeah. We're not to look, you know, because I'm not looking for a wife. Well, I wasn't looking for a wife in the club. Everybody knows what we were looking for at the club, and it definitely wasn't a wife. Hello?
Right.
Okay, so.
Right.
If anybody's planning on finding a wife in the club, let me know how it worked out.
I met my husband.
I'm not gonna say that's impossible though. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not gonna say that's impossible. I'm not gonna say that.
No.
It's difficult. It's, you know, you can't be with someone that was in. You know, you can't meet somebody that was in a club.
Yep.
This is a different show for us.
Never.
I want you all to know, because normally. You know, I would be, you know, going a little bit, you know. I wanted to hear people's thoughts on things, you know. I wanted to open it up a little bit. And next week is going to be a little different. But I had some technical difficulties. But I really appreciate the thoughts that are coming up. Because in order to really know something about people, you have to ask the people themselves, you know. And we're constantly learning here. You know, it's constantly one of those things where, you know, I open myself up to learn more about myself and, you know, people. So, just like I said, I want to do something a little different tonight. We're talking about love languages. We're gonna took a pause for the cause on break. Let's see how I do this. You know, I'm still,
think of younger days when I lived for my life. Was everything a man could want to do. I could never see
Hello. you once again for showing up at the Glass House. You know, this is I really appreciate. I want to take a pause to really appreciate you guys. This is our going into our fifth week. Still learning a whole lot of things, and I'm trying to see where Lady T is.
I'm right here. We're a work in progress.
Okay.
We're a work in progress. I definitely am enjoying myself.
This is really actually, and I have to really thank Laker Girl for, I want to put it out there, for really helping us, you know, with this, you know, with the board. I'm just now, you know, getting it to where I'm learning more about it. So I think I got it. I appreciate you all for calling and your thoughts, because this is what it's all about, is sharing and opening up and sharing your thoughts, you know, about this crazy thing. Because it's the language of love. It's something that we, as individuals, will, you know, as human beings, will constantly strive to increase. Let me read this, just to get us back on a track. Yeah, I'm gonna read this again. It's about the five love languages, and this guy by the name of Gary Chapman. He talks about this. He says, as I spend time on Personality Cafe, I seem to always stumble upon threads where members are trying to pin down traits as something that as all is-jays to do or all six-dums do, whatever that means. In many of these circumstances, he says, I feel like relationship questions can better be addressed by understanding the five love languages. And I mentioned this earlier. Most of us grow up learning the language of our parents, which becomes our native tongue. And later, we may learn additional languages. But usually, with much effort in the area of love, it's similar. Your emotional love language and that of your spouse may be as different as Mandarin from English. No matter how hard you try to express love in English, if your spouse only understands Mandarin, you'll never understand how to love each other. Seldom do a husband and wife have the same primary love language. We tend to speak our primary love language and become confused when our spouse doesn't understand what we're communicating. Once you identify and learn to speak your spouse's primary love language, you'll have discovered the key to a long-lasting, loving marriage. And it goes on to determining your own love language. And this is what I really, really, you know, what is it that we, I mean, you know, how do you express your love to others? What is it that you say to others that allow them, what you say or do, that lets you know that you love them? Lady T,
well,
help me out with that. What is it that you do to let a person know that you love them?
It can go from small to little things. Like, you can just touch a person's hand, or you can just, you know, you can whisper in their ear, or you can help them out with taking groceries across the street, or, you know, just the little things. Or it can be the big things. You know, some girls like it big. They like it bling bling. They like the cars. They like the clothes. They like, you know, they like the style. So it can go from here to there. You know, I'm a simple type of girl. I like the simple things that thought is put into.
Okay,
right.
What bugs you?
I agree with that.
What bugs you about
I agree
about
with
me?
That.
What is it that you would complain about that guys do that you don't like, that really gets underneath your skin?
That they don't take enough time to put the thought into doing the little things in life that would make a woman happy, and they make it more than it has to actually be.
Mm-hmm.
Most often? Is that what you ask for? Because a lot of times, hold on before you answer that question, a lot of times people, they want something and they complain about it, but they don't request what they want. They're not specific in what they really and truly desire.
I Sorry, I request the things that I want. I'm into communication, so I like it to be open. So if I have a problem with something, I request, like, so we can have open dialogue to see where the community breakdown is, so that if we're having a problem, we can work it out. Because I don't want to be sitting there stuck on stupid, looking at somebody else stuck on stupid, looking at each other, pissed off. I want to be happy.
Hey, Simi.
Because a lot of people, you know, I'm just saying, a lot of times I find that when Gina wants something, okay, maybe I'm just not getting it. No, I have to use my own self as a, you know, and then she says, you're not listening to me. And I say, yes, I am listening to you. I wish she was listening right now, you know. But she's not. Well, yeah, she might be listening. But you know, I mean, you know, I am listening to you. I know exactly what you said. And then I repeat it, and it's like, no, that's not what I said. Now, for the record, everybody knows that knows me, I do have a hearing impairment. That I do. Okay? If I'm looking at you, and I can read lips like a beast. I'm a beast at reading lips. And I will look at her, and, you know, I will look at her in her eyes sometimes, not all the times. And that's, you know, that's a problem that I might have, because I'll look off. You know, we have to really, really be cognizant of when someone is really trying to express something to us, to make eye contact. Because when you make eye contact with that person, you're letting that person know that you really care about what they're saying to you. And you really want to understand what's being communicated to you. But sometimes I must say that I miss it. Now, why is it that we as men miss it?
Uh-oh.
Carrie,
Simi,
where are you?
I'm right here. Okay, I got two things. First off, I think that we don't – I know what happened in my relationship and what I watch happening in my daughter's relationship. You will tell the person what your love language is, and they will say to themselves, no, I want you to speak this language. For instance, my love language is security. Okay, I need to know that you're going to do what you said you're going to do. My bills are going to be paid, you know, and I don't have to worry about stuff like that. I'm going to be safe. That's my love language. My ex-husband, even though I shared that with him from the get-go Jump Street, he wanted my love language to be gifts. He wanted to give me things. That didn't speak love to me. What spoke love to me was respect and security.
Oh.
And
okay.
So a lot of times
we try to make the other person. Carrie, now gifts, don't mistake, not all the time is materialism. You know, the receiver of gifts, you know, some people,
they
thrive, you know. It's not always, you know, materialism.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you. But I'm just saying that's the way
sometimes
he expressed
love. Some women love to receive a gift. It's a gesture.
Right. And I'm not against that.
Mm-hmm.
But how he expressed his love was to give me things. But that didn't really speak love to me. You know? And so his love language was he wanted me to give him things. So I would give him things, and he liked that. But he couldn't speak my love language back to me. And so I think the problem is sometimes we have to, you know, if one person's love language is gifts and the other person's is security, we have to speak each other's language, you know, and that way we can get along.
That's true. I mean, but how much, this is the thing about it, like, okay, you know, they have, so far as like, not only is it time, okay, quality time. What do you call quality time? You know, like I'm asking you this from a woman's point of view. What do you call quality time? How much time does a man, because I want to really understand this. I'm asking you sincerely, how much time does a man need to spend with you in order for you to know, you know that, you know, he loves you, or you know there's security in that relationship? What do you call quality time? You there, T? Oh. So who's there? Female.
I'm here. Will, I'm here.
I'm a
okay.
Female.
All right. Well.
I think it's this. Can you hear me? Go ahead. Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Will. Oh. Well,
go ahead, Will.
To me, though.
I want a woman to answer this.
Oh, okay.
I'll answer that.
Go ahead.
Answer that. Okay. I was raised as an only child. I don't need a whole bunch of time. You know, I don't. And to me, quality time is that time that we spend together, communicating, listening, and that doesn't have to be hours upon hours. But for me, for quality time, I want all of the person's attention to be directed to me and all of my attention directed to him for however short or how long that may be. That's quality time for me.
So what has to happen within that time? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm serious about this because, you know, being an only child, and I get you. I know how to be by myself.
Yeah.
I know exactly how to be by myself. And it doesn't take a lot for me to be, you know, I mean, I don't have to spend every breaking, waking moment with you for it to be quality time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can spend a certain amount of time and I'm good.
The time that we're together, I want us to be focused on each other. And that's quality time for me. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. My ex and I used to go walk around the track, you know, outside walking around the track, and that was quality time because we dealt with a lot of issues while we were out walking around the track, you know, because we were focused on each other.
Right. I kind of think that quality time, it depends on what level you are in your relationship and how secure
right.
you are within it. Like, it can be that you guys can steal moments. That's quality time, like a lunch
mm-hmm.
break or,
mm-hmm.
you know, some type over weekend. It depends on that person's profession. Like, Simi, you used to tour the world. You know what I'm saying? So your quality time was probably very, very valuable to whoever you were with or tried to
mm-hmm.
cultivate a relationship with because it was so sparse. Because you didn't have a lot of time. You were in and out of town. So they'd have to understand that. I understand
right.
quality time because I believe in different people's relationships and where they're at in their lives. You have to adapt to that other person's lifestyle also to know what type of quality time that you
right.
need and is going to be able to be best for you.
Exactly.
Okay. Because, you know, I mean, in my relationship, it was something to define what that was difficult for me because, you know, I really didn't, you know, I thought that, you know, just being there was quality time when just being
yeah.
there wasn't just quality time.
Right.
What
right.
quality time is, you know, paying attention, being attentive
right.
to what's being said, to what, you know, and understanding what's being said. Quality time is making sure, and we've been talking about this with the body language. You know, you could be with a person so long that they don't have to even say anything, you
exactly.
know. But you know that there's a knot in their left shoulder. And it's bothering them, and so you walk up to them and you massage their shoulder. You know, you don't have to say anything. You know it's there. You know it's bothering them. You know, we have to be. You know, I've learned that is, you know, a very important time. You know, that's very important in relationships. You know, sometimes it's good to just You know, cut the TV off.
And just have silence.
Cut the TV off.
That's
yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and just
don't
have,
even
you
talk
know,
about the television show you're watching. Cut it completely off.
Right.
And
just
you know,
silence.
Allow yourself to share your thoughts and your feelings. You know? A relationship
and, you know,
calls
sometimes, sometimes you don't even have
go
to,
ahead.
Like T said, just have silence. Sometimes you don't even have to talk.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in relationships where we just kind of just sit there, and it's like, I can't even explain it. We're learning each other without even conversation going on. You know, like, we could even have quality time, and I could be reading a book, he could be reading a book, but just being together and feeling each other's presence was quality time. So it just kind of depends.
I'm going to ask you, A.B. I'm going to ask A.B.
Yeah.
Because he's a man of my after my own heart.
He
Billy is
woman.
Too, but I'm going to ask A.B. because you a warrior in this thing called marriage. How do you spend quality time with your wife?
Okay. Now, y'all don't laugh, because we do everything. And you know, Sam, we be in different places at different times, but we do simple stuff. As we got coloring books. You know, we keep a set of,
cool.
You know.
That's
we
adorable.
Got color, you know, but I done found out that we can't color in the same book, because I don't stand the lines. You know me. So we got coloring books. We do everything. But the thing is, like the Bobby Womack song, you know, do the things that put a smile on her face. You
right.
You can never stop doing those. You know, you can
mm-hmm.
never stop doing those.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Because she knows yeah. I'm crazy, and she knows any second, any minute in the day, I might do something that's going to make her laugh. She's a fool. You know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, I agree with that.
We definitely cherish the time that we have.
I really think that it has to do with a sense of discovery, that you always have to have, you know. That's I think that's what keeps the excitement, you know, because, I mean, after a certain point, guess what? Sex, it ain't going to be about sex. Trust that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was very, my
that's
dad
right.
was born
that
when I was
be like
wears out.
Was
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. My daddy was, let me tell you the story. Hold up. I was born when my daddy was 58 years old.
Yep.
My mother and father were married for 22 years until the day she died.
Mm-hmm.
And from him, I understood that this thing called intimacy goes deeper than the physicality of having sexual relationships.
Amen.
And when you can communicate, when you can open yourself up, you know, I'm going to tell you this, and this is the truth. You know, you can open yourself up so deep, so broad, so, you know, vast.
So vulnerable.
So, you know, vulnerable. And at the same time, feeling safe, that when it comes time yeah. to the sex, ain't nobody got to even move. But you don't hear me, though. And I mean that. It comes a time to where, you know, it's a deeper level of intimacy that becomes spiritual.
Right.
You know, when you can share, when you can be open, and when you can, you know, you feel safe. And when we come to the place where we, you know, love, you know, when you love a person for who they are completely, and loving a person for who they are completely, it doesn't mean that they're perfect. Of course not. It doesn't mean that they don't have things that still bug you. But what it means that you love that person unconditionally. That's
mm-hmm.
that agape love, that love that just goes past their faults. And really focuses on their needs, you know. And for women that are out there that have all of these qualities and attributes of a woman that, you know, that a man would just really just cherish the rest of his life. Never, ever give up hope. But not only that, understand that it will change and you will have that individual that you desire. But what's necessary is you keep the attitude of knowing that it's already in your presence.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, that person for you, he's there. He's there. You know, all the praying in the world. You know, a lot of times we pray with the expectations of knowing that it's on its way.
That's right.
And have a sense of expectation. You know, expectation. You know, what is expectation? See. You know that it's on its way. And wherever you go, wherever you are, you know, I really love the way my boy Will went about this thing. And I have to give him a compliment because this is a very handsome black man that, you know, could have used his physical to get what he wanted. A lot of times we just use our physical, you know, and we miss out. But he decided that he wanted to wait. He decided that he wanted to really have something, be with somebody that was worth it. And he left himself open, and he became vulnerable. A lot of times we allow our past hurts, our past frustrations, you know, and the things that, you know, have happened to our in our lives, we allow those things to hold us back. We allow those things to prevent us from, you know, moving forward. And I said this before. I said, you know, forgiveness has nothing, very little to do with the person that has done you harm. And
that's
everything
right.
That has to do with making, allowing you to move forward to those things, what God has for you. And so, you know, we can get battered, bruised, and beat up in the past in relationships. And it can put us in a place of you know of rejection and covering up. I gotta take this one call because this is Miss Lady. Hold on, she's up. I'm gonna let her on. I know who you are and I know where you're calling from. Go ahead. This is Gina.
Hello.
Hi, Gina. Hey, Ladybug.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Gina.
Hey. Oh, we have a house full today.
Yeah.
Well, I just want you guys to go ahead and continue. I just wanted to open my mic so I can speak when I can. Whoa. Hello?
I thought you were going to, you know, say something profound.
I just got on.
She's got to warm up. She's got to warm up.
Because, you know, I'm going to tell you something, really. I'm learning. This every week this show comes on. And I have to say, T, and you can agree with me, Lady T, from Jay to Lynn Tolliver Jr., I mean, this has really given us an opportunity to open our lives up and to share our lives and in turn learn. So, I'm expecting, you know, whatever you share, I'm willing to receive because it lets me know, you know, that there's something more that I can do with my life. We have a caller from 314-383. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, how y'all doing? This is John L. Jay King asked me to give you guys a call tonight. I spoke with you earlier,
nice.
Lady T.
Oh, yes. How are you?
I'm blessed.
I'm so glad that you called back. What a blessing.
Yes, I'm glad you called, too.
Hey,
you got me smiling from ear to ear. Now I'm finna just have a ball tonight.
Hold on now.
Hold on now.
I'm about to trip off of this. You know, I heard you guys talking about the subject matter about what is that your language, your love language.
Now, our assertiveness.
Yeah, that's,
yes, our
I'm
assertiveness is our
that.
Love language.
Right,
yeah.
right. I'm learning about that. But I called because, Lady T, after doing my further research, that picture that you took with the green around your eyes, that's my picture, just so that you know. You took that at my studio with my photographer.
You know what? I didn't get a chance to ask you that this morning. And Jay and everybody wanted to talk to you, but I know it was at Fat Effects.
Exactly.
And I remember at the studio, I remember laying down. That whole session was at my studio. Rain did the makeup. Dexter Brown did the shoot. You were standing there. That was my first invite to you. You were very debonair. You were very dapper. You were very nice. And you were such the gentleman back then that I am so, so proud of what you have done thus far. Let me just bow down. I'm so excited right now. I might not let anybody else talk.
Janelle, yes. while you're on our show, just very briefly, he was on The King in the Morning, ladies and gentlemen, and he's been on there 2 days in a row. He's doing something very fantastic. Very briefly, we're going to take a pause just for you to tell our listeners on the Glass House what it is that you've been doing. Very briefly, let them know.
Well, you know, first of all, the Glass House, transparency is definitely where I fit in at.
Great.
You know, I did an audiobook called An Urban Child, and Urban Child discusses the parallel between the illicit trade and the legitimate trade. And because of my background and coming from a drug-infested background and doing 10 years in a federal correctional facility as a first-time offender, I felt, you know, overwhelmed with so many people constantly telling me if I had have applied myself to the illicit trade, to this illicit trade, to a legitimate trade, if I'd applied myself in the same way, then I would be just as successful. So after serving my 10 years of incarceration, I put those words to work and built my company and my legacy as Fat Effects. And T, you know, I couldn't quite put it together until I saw that photo.
I know. You don't even understand. I'm cheesing from ear to ear. Now, Simi, ask him. He met me, okay? I had different clothing on. I was a different type of person. Ask him how my body language was. Ask him, was I receptive to him?
Okay.
Ask him, was
I
open to him?
Oh,
ask him, was I there?
Well, okay. What was it like, Janelle? What was it like when you
open it up? Open it up.
Let me just say this. You know, bringing the urban culture to you know, I believe our culture is a subculture. We do have a different language in the way we express ourselves in its entirety. At the time, I had signed a well-known photographer, which is kind of unheard of, to an artist contract. Dexter was building his reputation up as a photographer in Los Angeles. And because of my marketing and advertisement, you know, goods have been around and been so well received, I decided to add that particular entity to my company. And I built the psych wall, and I just recruited all of the top people in their craft. Rain was one of our top makeup artists, and we had Star. I mean, I can keep on going. But in dealing with the stars of that day, the Gabrielles, the Lisa Rays, and as well as you, Lady T, everyone seemed to come in with just that comfortability to release themselves, because that would be the only way we can capture your image that well. You understand what I'm saying? So yes, you are very warm, very pleasant, and you do have that bedroom physique. I mean, you know, if you want everybody to know. If they don't know, they need to know.
Let me ask you this. Was it something that you felt like you just wanted to just jump on, or was it something that you felt that you were attracted to, but, you know, even though you were attracted to it in such a physical way, there was something extra or something that, you know, that made you say, wait a minute, my approach, you know, would be different? I'm just saying, you know, because I'm going to be honest. There are some that, you know, you just look at them and it's like, you know, let me have it. I mean,
well, you
got to
keep
that
in mind, man. I mean, I deal with hundreds of girls, like my beautiful sister, in a week's time. You understand what I'm saying? And you cannot go in a situation where you carrying in a professional environment and treat women, you know, like you constantly trying to get in that, you know, get in that womb. Because then, you know, people begin, the industry is only so big, and then it becomes this thing where everyone starts talking about it. Instead of them talking about me trying to get up in their womb, they walk away talking about the good experience that they had, and then it would grow my company. Keep in mind, you know, my building take up the whole city block in downtown L.A. And, you know, that's not a joke when you're in downtown L.A. with a city block. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Lady T, I don't know if you remember coming through there, do you? She's gone already.
Excuse me? Who was that? Lady T? Well, hey, you know what, Danielle? Man, I really appreciate you calling in. Thank Jay, you know, for sending you this way, man, because I've really been touched by what you are doing in your life and how you're touching people's lives, man. I appreciate that, man. And anytime that you desire, man, don't hesitate to call in, man, and drop in, you know, and say something that will be able to help us all. You know, you have.
Well, I appreciate that.
Wait. Let them know. Is there some people that's on here? Let them know. You know where your book. You know the name of your book. Where they can download it. And all
that'd
of
be
that.
Great. You can always log on to www.phatefx.com, and click on the link that says An Urban Child, and take a listen to the trailer. And if it's something that you feel you can benefit from, please. I encourage people to download it. And our nonprofit is urbanborn.org. We expanded our nonprofit. We bought a school in St. Louis where we motivate kids about early education, sight words, high-frequency words. Anytime you want to get involved, there's a link there for you to click on how to get involved. There's a link there at urbanborn.org how to, you know, make contributions. We look forward to anyone's help and resources that they have available.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you, man.
No, I appreciate
you. Blessings on your wonderful life, man. Yeah. And, you know, you make sure you tell Jay I said thank you.
Oh, no doubt.
You got a pass anytime. Anytime
right
you want to come
man.
Up, I'm going to open your mic up, okay?
So
thank you for
so
coming
much,
on
brother.
The Glass House. We appreciate you. And
thank
you
for having me. Lady
you
T,
know,
where
I
you go? She just shook us, didn't she? She put us on mute, man. She put us on mute and took off, huh?
No, she, Lady T, she put herself on me, but Lady T, she's around. I want to take a short break. And,
it's hot in here. Oh! Would you wear love? Let's go, let's go. Carpe diem. Come on, Kevin. Catch up. You can win tonight.
Don't you spirit believer and achiever. Don't get up. A nation of hot just can't escape for one to watch. When you step out, look in this heart. Just saying, she the one, she the done on the floor, yeah. Never mind, I'm coasting. Come chill here, yeah. And we can do it like we supposed to. Holly's approach your love, it's going coaster. Oh, don't let me hold you. I can show you better than a mother told you, for real.
There's game I'm gonna watch. When you step out, look in these eyes.
You see me?
Karen White is hot. I love her music, man. She is so, she's doing so well. And Jay is doing such an excellent job with her, getting her all over the world. And she's across the country. You know, you can get her album off of iTunes. I think it's called Seize the Day. I'm not sure. I'll get that right. But she's doing it. Excuse me?
I said it's Carpe Madam in her album.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And it's a hot album. It's a hot album. So, but getting back to this love language thing we're talking about, physical touch. And this love, you know, this type of language, it isn't all about the bedroom. I used to say this. I used to say, you'd be amazed at what a kiss on the forehead could do. A kiss on the forehead is amazing. It's an amazing tool to say a whole lot of things. Physical touch. A person whose primary language is physical touch is not surprisingly very touchy. They hug. You know, they give a lot of, they pat on the back, they hold hands. You know, thoughtful touches on the arms, shoulders, and face. They can always be, you know, those are ways that they show excitement, concern, care, and love. Physical touch. I'm a touchy-feely type person when it comes to my mate. You know, to show. It's the language of love. I touch. I'm a hugger. Okay, I'm gonna tell you. I don't hug everybody. I don't hug everybody. I can admit to that. But if it's someone that I love, male or female, you're getting a hug from Sam. Now, how do you feel about hugging when you meet someone? Because Gina hugs. She will hug a gorilla in the bush. You know, I mean, she's just a hugger. And there's only one time that I didn't hear, you know, there's only one time that she didn't hug someone. I have to tell this story. We went over to Jay King's house, and Jay was having, I guess he was having a meeting, and we were, we stopped by. He was on our way. And he had these guys that were there. They're artists, you know, old school. But they looked like gangsters. I mean, you know, Jay looked like, he was in the middle of a drug deal. Now, not that he was. He was basically, you know, talking about music. That's Jay's life. That's his love. And they were musicians. You know, I think someone was from the Barcades, Switch or something. I don't know. But, you know, I walk in and I, you know, do my same thing. But this is the first time that I ever saw Gina extend her hand to anyone. I mean, you know, one guy had a perm, the other guy had a cane, and they looked like pimps and hustlers. Now, wait, that was the only time that I didn't see her hug anyone. But other than that, she's a hugger, you know, and I'm a hugger. How do you feel about hugging? You know, when are you a hugger? Are you naturally a hugger, or are you someone that, you know, when someone gets into your personal space, you feel, you know, a little uncomfortable, you know?
I'm not a hugger. I'm not a hugger. If somebody gets my personal space, I feel uncomfortable. But, now, Cindy, you know, me and you hug, me and Gina hug, all of us hug. But that's different.
Wait. Who am I talking to right now?
This is Carrie.
Oh, okay, there you go.
You know, we hug,
right.
but that's different.
You know, I don't know your voice.
You know what I'm saying?
Go ahead, sweetheart.
Oh, yeah. So that's different, but I attend a church where people are huggers, and I'm like, you don't have to hug me. I just saw you last Wednesday at Bible study. You know? But
okay.
They hug all the time.
So, wait.
And I'm not, but now, like, when I was home a few weeks ago, lots of hugging.
Mm-hmm.
And I hug my children all the time. When they were little, I hugged them. Every time I picked them up, I hugged them and kissed them every time, you know. And even now that they're grown up, they get hugs and kisses from their mom. And they're like 30, 28, you know, they're grown people. If I'm in a relationship, I'm just not really a big hugger, you know. Like, you know, some women like to cuddle. I just found out recently that cuddling is okay, that I kind of like it, because I didn't care for that before.
Okay. I mean, in different relationships, you figure out different things that you didn't like before,
right.
But you like now.
I was like, everybody to their own corner. Everybody to their own corner.
Right.
I'm a cuddler. Cool. Yeah, and I like it.
And there's nothing wrong with cuddling.
I think it has to be with the right person. You know, but
right.
I'm not. Exactly. I don't like any old body touching me. I'm really weird about that.
We have a call.
Well, I'm a hugger. I'm a hugger because I believe in exchanging energy. I believe in,
yeah,
you know, the energy that you give out. Like, you have to replenish yourself with energy. So you can't just keep giving and giving and giving energy and not replenishing yourself with your own and other people's energy to make yourself go and to make yourself, you know, full and whole and to keep moving. So I feel like you need kind of contact with people,
mm-hmm,
to get that. Some people, you know.
I've learned how, because people tell me just what you just said, Lady T.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned how. But my natural state is,
right,
I'm just not a real, you know, and I don't know why, because I grew up in a household. We were touchy-feely, mm-hmm, my parents and stuff. And I think because it was my parents, I to me, touchy-feely belongs in a real relationship.
Right.
But because of what I do in church and stuff, I have learned that people need physical contact. They need physical contact,
yeah, to keep it moving, to know that you're not
right
dead, really. You know what I'm saying? To know that
right
you're a living, breathing entity that is walking around. Because once a person doesn't get physical contact after a long time, like it can go months sometimes without giving, I get a hug or something like that. It feels odd. It feels a little strange,
you know,
for somebody
to be touching
on my body.
Right.
It just depends. And I get that. You were talking about being. I think that some people, they just don't feel comfortable, you know, being, you know, I've said this before. There is a personal space,
mm-hmm,
that a person can enter in that can make you feel uncomfortable. I don't care who they are.
That's true.
You know, and it, you know, I think it's about from, and I'm looking at the computer now, it's about from 3 to 3 feet. I'm saying from 12 to 7 inches. That's real close. 12, 7, you know, that's pretty close, especially if you're not in a club, you know, that somebody can get into your your personal space. Shamir, I got your 702-353. Go on and say what you want to say. I got your mic open.
It's the comfort zone. Remember that little theory, if you were 1 to 2 feet talking to someone in their face, we have a friend that would get into your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's things that you don't like. Number one, I'm not being rude or anything, but like in my comfort zone, you may have bad breath, and I don't want you in that area. You know what I'm saying? And that's when like a brother would come up to you and approach you and may have bad breath. You in my comfort zone, I need you to step back.
Well, you know,
you feel
you're right. I mean, so that has a lot to do with, I mean, you know, the way you'll keep your hygiene up, if you had a few drinks, you know, have a mint or some gum, you know, because that can affect your approach. Or, you know, that can hinder you from getting closer.
And who wants to be in that area, you know? Everybody is not like that.
What's a weird feeling? I walked up to a lady one time. I won't mention her name because it doesn't matter. And I went to hug her. And she, you know, stepped back. And she was like, oh, get back. And you're too close, you know. And it made me feel kind of like, oh, wow, man, you know. I felt kind of, you know, rejected. And I felt kind of ticked off. But I had to understand that everybody is not with that, especially if they don't know you. And instead of me being disappointed in the fact that she didn't give me a hug, I had to switch it up and say, okay, everybody's not, you know, everybody can't be close like that. You never know what goes on in life.
They're anal is the bottom line.
Okay, and but see, you never know what a person has gone through in their life. See, there are some people that when they were kids, a hug wasn't a hug; it was a grind.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
You see,
something inappropriate.
Some people have experienced hugs as a child as a grind,
mm-hmm.
and they felt something up against their leg while they were hugging that man or something. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So it doesn't necessarily have to be something that was so anal. It has to be. It could be something that was traumatic that happened in their life, in
mm-hmm.
their past, that made them feel uncomfortable. It doesn't mean that they're not trying to be a good person. You know, that's their boundaries. That's their limitations.
But
everybody ain't
open. This Carrie again. I was in an abusive relationship, and people come up on me sometime, and my defenses come up
mm-hmm.
because I'm still dealing with this abusive. I mean, you know, I got post traumatic stress syndrome.
Right,
my support.
Right.
And it's not always.
Hear that?
Well, I guess I don't know. I'm not diagnosed with it because you know, but whatever.
No, but it's long-lasting effects. It's not whatever. It's don't minimize it. It's definitely something that happened. It's something that definitely that happened to you, and it's something
Yes.
No, it changes
it
things. It makes your reaction to things differently. You know, it's just not the same. Yeah.
And so when people come up on me sometime or say certain things and come toward me, my defenses come up.
Right.
And I think this abusive relationship is probably what stopped my hugging.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
I think that may
was
have been
what stopped abusive, my hugging. Was it physically abusive or was it mentally abusive or both?
It was both.
Wow.
And you know the person, Simi. It was both.
Yeah,
and,
well, you know
so,
what? You know. Wow.
Yeah. And so
but you know
what,
I never, yep. Go ahead.
It takes some time, and so we can't say, there's reasons why people are not physical with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, and the best, you know, you got to kind of find that out, especially if you're in a relationship with somebody. If you're a man and you go in a relationship with a woman and she's been abused and you go a little bit too fast for her, that's a problem.
You're going to shock her,
That's right. And I think that in the big picture, if this woman wants to be in a relationship, she's got to be straight up and honest with the person and let them know, there are some things that right now I can't handle.
Right.
You know, and so, and if that person is willing to hang on in there, then the two of them can work that out.
Right.
You know, so.
Wow. You know, that's why I say you never know. You never have any idea what a person has gone through, what a person deals with in their own lives. Body language, you know, being able to, you know, understand and being, body language is an awareness of what's around you, you know, body talk, nonverbal communication, which is a part of the love language, which is a part of, I mean, we are love. We should be love. You know, we should express love. We all want love. And I've said this before, even a killer that's going out there doing whatever they do has love in their heart. We're going to take a break right now. I love this song. thank you so much for being a part of this, y'all. That's For You to Love by Club Nouveau. Man, I love this album. You got to go out. You can get it on iTunes, and you can go buy it. Once again, me and Lady T, we appreciate you guys coming out and supporting us in the Glass House. We're striving each and every week to become better and to make it a place that you need to enjoy yourself and to open yourselves up. Carrie, Billy, AB, all of you guys, and it's, and absolutely, of course, the illustrious Lady T. Until then, until next week, may God bless you and keep you. And always remember that the Glass House is available for you to be here. Take care. Peace.
Take care.